Hello, this is Aileen Turcios, your host for the EDPE 3053 Second Language Acquisition Podcast. In this session, I go over myths and misconceptions about second language learning by Barry McLaughlin. In today's episode, we will look over the fifth myth: all children learn a second language in the same way. Now, before I go over the article, when I read the fifth myth, just the title, I was actually surprised that this was even a myth because my education classes have all taught me that every student is different and learns differently. And at first I assumed that for these myths, it was from an outsider's perspective, but then I immediately realized that this whole article is about myths that teachers believe in. That being mentioned, McLaughlin begins the section by describing how teachers would not agree that every student learns a second language the same way or rate. He explains that the assumption lies within the practice and focuses on two aspects, the first being the linguistic aspect when comparing mainstream American families to diverse minority families. Mainstream American students are less likely to struggle as school is structured to fit the language norms that mainstream American families follow. The language norms include communicating meaning, to convey information, to control social behavior, and to solve problems. As a result, mainstream American students don't seem to struggle as much because this kind of language is being used at home. Compared the situation to diverse minority families, students are more likely to struggle and feel frustrated because they are not using this language at home. Another great point that McLaughlin makes is comparing social classes. Students who come from upper and middle class families are more likely to be introduced to literacy and technology at an early age, whereas lower and working class families do not get the same privilege. It is important to note that lower working class families usually are minorities or immigrant families. And with that, I totally see it. I come from a district when I was a high school student, all the way through pre-K as well, that all of the students came from lower income and were also minorities. Majority of the students in my class and in the school had their lunches paid by the government, and they had a lot of trouble when it came to literacy as well because many of the students I mentioned were from immigrant families. Another factor as to why students do not learn the same is due to their cultures. How they grew up, such as some students being raised by their siblings, which can result in these students paying more attention to their peers. In other cases, students staying quiet when a teacher is asking for participation in classroom because they were taught to listen and respect adults. Their cultures at home transcend into the classroom, as some students are more open to talking and being okay with mistakes, whereas others prefer to stay quiet. McLaughlin ends this first section by emphasizing that both of these kinds of learners can be successful second language learners depending on how a class is taught. A class that emphasizes more group work will benefit the social learner, but a class that emphasizes more on listening will benefit the active listener. That being mentioned, in the "What does this mean for the teacher?" section, explains that teachers need to understand how the cultural background of the student can play into their learning. Their customs and traditions transcend into the classroom as previously mentioned. Because of this, students should be aware and work on creating an adaptable classroom to fit the needs of the language learners. This includes incorporating a variety of instructional activities as mentioned by McLaughlin, such as small group work, cooperative learning, peer tutoring, individualized instruction, and other strategies that take the student's diversity into account. He finally emphasizes that educators should go beyond cognitive activities that show you as an educator respect and view the student's culture as important. He gives a minor example of, you know, going beyond just showing a PowerPoint of a student's culture, but as well putting it and incorporating into classroom activities, bringing books that the student can relate to, as well as videos, and putting it into a class discussion or in minor group activities. This can lead to the student feeling proud of their background as well as participating more in the classroom. After reading the article, I would say that this section was probably my favorite because it explained plenty of factors as to why some students struggle with learning a new language. And Not only that, but it explains the important role that we as educators have that can result in positive outcomes for our students. In order to have these positive outcomes, though, educators must educate themselves about these myths, such as these, because they can harm the students' academic performance and hinder how they feel. English language learners can have so many benefits once they leave the school and, you know, graduate. But it's up to us as educators to make sure that they embrace themselves and make sure that we are doing our best so that these students can become successful. I hope that you enjoyed my podcast just as much as I enjoyed making them. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.